If everyone would take out a Bible and open it up to Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting up him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
When we look at the Bible, we find that it contains several different types of literature. There are some passages which must be classified as poetry. There are the passages which contain proverbs and wisdom sayings. There are gospels and psalms. We find narrative accounts. There is apocalyptic literature. And in the variety of information that we have, there are some Bible examples. We looked at a few of those last week. I advanced, if you were here last Sunday morning, the proposition that the Bible uses examples to not only show us what's right and wrong, but the examples show us how to do things. They tell us what we should do. In addition to Bible examples, Scripture also tells us to do some things by using inferences and commands. In this morning's lesson, I want to pay attention to the word inference. An inference is a means of understanding and applying some information. And this means is one that we use on a regular basis, day after day. As we live our normal lives, we are presented with some facts, and we use those facts to draw some conclusions. In several Bible passages, Scripture does the same thing. A few moments ago, we heard the reading, Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. The Bible says Jesus was baptized. If you followed along in the reading, you notice that Jesus came up out of the water. That's a fact. Can we infer anything from the fact that Jesus came up out of the water? If we know that fact, it is possible for us to infer that he was in the water. If he came up out of the water, he had to be in the water. And saying that he was in the water is an inference. And again, this is something that we use on a regular basis. There are several inferences in Scripture that help us to learn what's right, and they help reveal God's will. The difficulty is perhaps identifying them. Sometimes it takes careful study, close study, to find some of the inferences that are found in Scripture. And this morning we want to cite a few instances of inferences. I'm going to begin with Matthew chapter 22. If you turn to Matthew 3, you may want to skip over another 20 chapters or so. Matthew 22 verse 23 says that on a certain day some Sadducees came to see the Lord. These people were from a religious group that did not believe in the resurrection, and they thought they had a question that Jesus could not answer. Perhaps this question had been put to others, perhaps not, but these men came to Jesus, and assuming that he believed in a resurrection, they said, we want you to explain a situation. Suppose there was a man who got married to a wife, and before they had any children, this man died. According to Moses' law, if there were other brothers in the family, another brother was to marry this wife and have children by her. And they said that was done and that didn't work out. Still no children were born. And there were seven brothers. They were all married to this woman and they didn't have any children by her. And in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? Perhaps they had a smug look on their faces. Perhaps they thought that they had tricked the Lord. Maybe they thought, we've got him now. But in verses 29 and 30, Jesus answered their question. And then Jesus said this. Verses 31 and 32 of Matthew 22. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Notice, please, the tense of the verbs. Jesus spoke of the dead. When we speak of those who have left this life, we use the past tense. We would say he was a nice guy. She was mean. They were sickly. Jesus, in commenting on the Old Testament law, used the present tense to describe the deceased. And that showed. That proved that there was some sense in which the dead were still alive. And according to Jesus, the present tense in the Hebrew text indicated proof of the resurrection. Men were alive, and that, Jesus said, was the basis for proving that the resurrection is true. Now, some in our day and time might say, well, that's pretty flimsy evidence. That's not how Jesus viewed the matter. Jesus came face to face with some of the most powerful religious leaders in this day and time. He challenged one of their most firmly held beliefs, that is, the resurrection was false. And his proof was, if God is the God of the departed, if God is still over these people, then number one, they're still alive. And number two, they're going to spend eternity with God somehow, and that requires a resurrection. Jesus drew an inference. And as his people, we can do the same thing. If he found authority and proof for the resurrection in an inference, we can and must follow his example. When we realize what inferences are, and we know that we use them on a regular basis, we will begin, if we carefully study Scripture, to see them in passage after passage. For example, the Bible says that belief precedes baptism, Mark 16:16. Before baptism, it's also said that people must repent, Acts 2:38. These are two facts. What can we infer, and what do we infer from these facts? The people who are baptized are to believe and they are to repent. We infer that infants are not suitable candidates for baptism. Infants cannot believe. Infants cannot repent. And therefore, they are exempt from baptism. We've made that argument dozens of times, perhaps. And yet, perhaps we have never labeled that as an inference. It is. There are other inferences in Scripture. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 10. We probably remember the story about Peter. In Acts 10, verse 13, we find that God gave three specific commands to the Apostle Peter. God said, get up, rise. Then he said to Peter, because a number of animals had been put before him, he said, kill. And then the third command is found in the word eat. The animals that were put before Peter, the animals that Peter saw had been unclean under the Old Testament. And Peter said, oh no, not me, Lord. He said, I've never eaten any of those creatures, and I will not on this occasion. Well, that's what Peter said, but notice about midway through the chapter what's in verse 28. And he said unto them, this is Peter at the household of Cornelius, ye yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself or come unto one of another nation. And yet, unto me hath God showed that I should not call any man common or unclean. You see, Peter got the point. God gave him this information in Acts 10 earlier in the chapter, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter didn't draw the right inference. He didn't draw any inference. He said, oh no, not me. But as he thought about that vision, as he received the command to go see Cornelius, he inferred, he concluded from that vision that number one, all meats are acceptable, and number two, all people are acceptable as well. God used an inference to help people, or help Peter show that the Old Testament law had been taken out of the way. I once heard a man object to this kind of reasoning. When someone suggested that people need to infer things from the Bible just as they infer things in life, he said, well, that's human reasoning and it has absolutely no basis in Scripture. That assertion is false. Jesus used an inference to prove the resurrection of the dead. God used inference in Acts 10 to show Peter that the Old Testament law had been taken out of the way. And these are by no means the only two times we find an inference in Scripture. Let's look at another example. If you've kind of kept a finger at the book of Matthew, perhaps still open to Matthew 22 or Matthew 3, let's move to information that's found in Matthew chapter 12. In this section of Scripture, Jesus talked about Satan, and he again used an inference. The verse that we want, we only need one passage from Matthew 12, and this is verse 26. Jesus said, and if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? We can divide this verse into three sections. Section number one would be Satan casts out Satan. Section number two would be, if that were occurring, Satan is divided against himself. Now suppose that you only had those two statements. Suppose Jesus were speaking with you and he said, Satan is casting out Satan. He's working against himself. He's divided against himself. If we had that information, could we not infer something? Could we not draw a conclusion? Yes, we could. And the conclusion is the one that the Lord drew in verse 26. Jesus said, if Satan were working against himself, casting himself out, divided against himself, his kingdom could not stand. That's the conclusion. That's the necessary inference. That is the only possible conclusion. Jesus Christ took facts and drew conclusions from them. and he was not the only one. Do you remember the information from John 20, 28? I'm going to highlight that, but not read that passage. Thomas was told about the resurrection. And after receiving that information, he said, I want some proof. I want you to prove that Jesus is no longer in the grave. Jesus appeared to this man, and he said, Thomas, touch me. Jesus said, look at my hands. Thomas, reach hither. Feel my side. What did Thomas conclude? We know how the passage goes. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He drew an inference. Here was a man who saw Jesus. Here was a man who was able to touch the Lord, and he drew a conclusion based on facts. That's an example of inference. There was another man who used inference. Certain things happened when Jesus was on the cross. In this area, there was a centurion who witnessed the Lord's death. And do you remember what that man said? After the temple was torn apart, after he saw the darkness, he said, truly this was what? This was the Son of God. Why did he state that? He drew an inference. He looked at the facts. Certain miraculous events had occurred, and he inferred that Jesus was exactly who the people said he was. Another inference, if you've kept your Bible open, is found in Matthew chapter 12. This one is found in the 28th verse, just a couple of verses away from where we were a few moments ago. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus said, but if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. Jesus was casting out demons, and he was doing that by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, this infers, this implies something. What should you include? He said, you should include that the kingdom of God has come. Again and again, the Bible encourages us to use inferences. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. We've made that point to people at different times. We believe that passage, and this verse also contains an inference. If Jesus is the way, we infer that he is the only way. That's the conclusion that we draw. He is not a way, he is not a good way, but if he is the way, the inference is there is no other way but Christ and his way. When we deal with inferences, and we have many of them in Scripture, we must be careful, very careful. A few days ago, I was in a room. Elizabeth walked in where I was, and she said, I've got your check. And I began to draw an inference. I concluded that she was talking about my paycheck, and I thought, what on earth is she doing with my paycheck? How did she get a paycheck of mine? And I thought, I need to ask a couple of additional questions. So I did, and it turned out that she had a check from Fairfield. I'd written a check, and it was for the wrong amount. You see, I drew an inference, but it was not a valid inference. It was not right. And we can do that same thing in life. Sometimes people do that with Scripture as well. Think about for a second the passages which say the whole household was converted. Everyone in the household was baptized. There are people in the religious world who read those passages and they draw an inference, do they not? They read those passages and they infer that infants were in the household. Well, that doesn't necessarily follow. Saying that a household was converted does not allow us to infer that there were infants or small children in those households. And the same may be said of the word check. Someone says, I've got a check. But again, without additional information, we cannot draw a proper inference. A wide range of meanings is possible. When we think about inferences that are improper, again, perhaps the example from Peter's life is helpful. You may remember that in Matthew 17, the Apostle Peter was invited to witness the Transfiguration, probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He was seeing people who had been dead for a long time, and because of what Peter saw on that occasion, he drew an inference. Here he is, he's with some people, he wants to stay there. Perhaps it looks like the meeting's going to last for a while, and he concluded that it would be right to build three tabernacles, and that's what he said. But God said, oh no, you've drawn the wrong inference, Peter. The inference that he needed to draw was found in the fact when everybody but Jesus disappeared. That was significant. And they should have inferred from that that Jesus is the one that now needs to be listened to. On another occasion, Peter also blew it when he dealt with inference. Going back for a second to the information in Acts chapter 10, God presented him with the information to infer that all animals may be eaten and all people should be fellowship. We should not be afraid to deal with anyone. But he failed to understand that as well. And there are going to be times in our life when we as God's people fail to use inference correctly, both in the world and in the church. But this is a tool that we use on a regular basis. We have facts given to us, and based upon those facts, we draw conclusions, we draw inferences, And we have the same thing in Scripture. That's one of the reasons why, as we look through Scripture, we need to look at the facts that we have in the Bible and to infer what Scripture implies. This is simply one more tool that helps us do what God has said. No more than that and no less than that. And this morning, that is the kind of commitment we are asking if you have made. To come to God's Word with the determination that you want to do what He said. No more and no less. But to be a Christian. And that's it. The Bible shows us how to become a Christian. And again, we can use inference in that. We find that there were people who believed, people who repented, people who confessed Christ. And then in passages like Acts chapter 8, they both went down into the water. We infer from passages like that that both must be in the water, that baptism is an immersion. It is a dipping. People need to be plunged beneath the water. And the Bible confirms that with other words such as burial. This morning, if you've not become a Christian, you can make that decision, and we can help you enter into Christ and obtain salvation. If you have become a Christian, then we encourage you to continue to study God's Word, to use the authority in it, so you continue to do things in the way that God has specified. If we can help you as a Christian or help you become one, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the selected song.